Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That brings us to Mac Jones. And now this is a guy that Niner fans are very familiar with, only because 4 years ago, the Niners made a big trade, Mia, as you know, in the draft with the Dolphins, moving up to the number 3 overall pick in that now infamous quarterback class. And a lot of people, me included, thought, oh, Kyle wants Mac Jones. That's the guy he wants. It's not Trey Lance. It's not Justin Fields. It's Mac Jones. So as I bring you on here, who is Mac Jones now, and how did he look last year filling in for Trevor Lawrence?
Let's start with this. Joe number 2, great to meet you. Joe number 1, it's been a hot minute. I don't think I've joined you guys since the morning roast got a little bit of a facelift. Shout out to Bonta, though. I think I may have to have him on my pod in a few weeks when the Jaguars and the Niners square off. Although
You don't need to do that, Mia. Don't gas up. His head's big enough, Bonta Hill, that you don't need to do that.
He's following me on social.
Oh, is he? Mia, I'm a little offended. I'm number 2, by the way. No, he's number 1? I'm the A-chair. Come on.
He's the butcher boy. He came first. Right. I gotta give it to Joe. I'm shocked you guys didn't change the name of the show to the Morning Joe. Well, I guess that's copyright, but that's
exactly. Thank you,
Mac Jones. Yeah, great to be on with you boys. Always love popping on the morning roast, Mac Jones. So uniquely equipped to answer that question because, of course, Mac Jones is also from Jacksonville, Florida. Went to the Bowl School, one of the most preeminent private schools in the area and in the state of Florida. Played for Corky Rogers, the all-time winningest high school coach in the state of Florida. Then goes to play for Nick Saban after initially being committed to Kentucky. A helicopter apparently landed on Bowles' field with Nick Saban in it, and that was like what swayed the tide. That's why he went to the Tide. Anyways, just to give you kind of the genesis of this, we've been covering Mac forever, and I've only been here since 2018, but I've gotten to know a lot of the people that made Mac during his time here in Jacksonville, for better or worse. His coaches and his teachers at the Bowles School, I've gotten to spend some time actually with his kindergarten teacher and his fifth grade teacher, who he still keeps in touch with, visits their class each and every year. I mean, they love the kid. There are a lot of folks in town who will tell you that, you know, he was a little bit of a punk because he grew up in a tennis-playing family and had a lot of resources, we'll call it. I never got that air or that vibe from Mac. Now, granted, part of that is because the most extensive time that I spent with Mac Jones was during the 2024 season, in which the Jaguars won 4 games and Mac Jones had just been let go by the New England Patriots, who had selected him in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft. And so, obviously, he'd been knocked down a few pegs by the time that I was spending extensive time with him. And so I never got that air of, you know, privilege or uppity on the guy. I never sensed that from Mac Jones. And I never sensed that in talking to my contemporaries who covered him at the University of Alabama. He never carried himself with that air, at least once he assumed a starting role after Tua Tagovailoa, his injury, and then he had moved on. And so Mac is he's a funny guy. I'll tell you that much. We'll start with that. Then we can kind of go into what we saw last year with the Jags and why I believe, yes, to your point, Joe, too, he is what Kyle Shanahan historically has had under center, which is a quarterback who will do exactly what he asks him to do. Mac is funny. He is got one of the loudest, snort, obnoxious laughs a la Kirk Ferentz that I've ever seen. But dudes in the locker room love him. They love his energy. They love his bubbliness in the huddle. They love that he can be goofy but serious at the same time. So I do think he instills confidence in his team, even if he doesn't have the flashy traits of another quarterback in the National Football League with more God-given ability, like Trevor Lawrence or, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, any of those top 4 guys in the league. So I do think in terms of a backup role, he's exactly what you want. Although I have a question for you guys. How healthy is Mac? Because didn't he suffer an injury in the preseason?
Yeah, he hurt his knee, and we don't really know. But he looked glorious in an all-red suit week 1 walking
fresh.
In.
He did.
We don't know. I mean, I saw him at practice prior to the injury. I thought he looked really good, but he's going against 2s. So let me ask you this. From last year, from what you saw with the Jaguars, how did he move behind the pocket with that offensive line. You know, there's a lot of offensive line questions with the Niners right now. And part of what makes Brock very special is he can kind of offset some of their inefficiencies on the offensive line with his movement behind the line. Did Mac hold the ball long? Did he move the pocket well? Just break down what he did behind the O-line last year with the Jaguars, because I'm trying to conceive what it might look like this weekend.
Yeah, the Jaguars' offensive line was much maligned last year. I don't think it was actually as poor as a lot of statistical indicators would like for you to believe, or fans here in Jacksonville. Ultimately, I thought he navigated the pocket for what it was fine. One thing that James Gladstone and Liam Cohen talked extensively about when they got here to Jacksonville was fortifying the inner plate and setting the plate and setting the table of that inner three of the offensive line at the center and then the two guard positions. Last year for Jacksonville, that was Ezra Cleveland and two old heads, and Brandon Scherff and Mitch Morse, both of whom have now retired. And so the Jaguars have fortified that part of their offensive line, and it paid early returns this past week with Robert Hainsey and Patrick McCary stepping into those two spots. With the old heads last year, though, I thought Mac played fine for all intents purposes. He also, and this is going to be, if I can dare it a little kangle, dangle a little carrot. It's earlier for you guys than me. I should be able to speak
pretty
right
good.
Now.
That's pretty good. Dangle, I like that.
Dangle a little carrot for Niners fans out there. There's a lot of stats that have people in Jacksonville panicked with regards to the Brian Thomas Jr. success his rookie year, and the fact that 500 plus of his 1,000 plus receiving yards from a year ago came with Mac Jones as the quarterback, not Trevor Lawrence. He really didn't become the focal point of the offense until the midway point. And even then, in Trevor Lawrence's third to last game, technically, against the Philadelphia Eagles, because that was the game he got hurt, I think BTJ had like two targets total. So like, it wasn't just because Brian Thomas Jr. hit his stride when Trevor Lawrence had already been hurt and was out for the season. I think it was also because the offensive play calling perhaps didn't recognize that, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. could potentially be a top five wide receiver in the National Football League. And so Mac Jones was the beneficiary of that. But to his credit, he made the throws to Brian when he had to. And of course, after this past week, there's a lot of panic here in Duval about, oh my goodness, do Trevor and Brian not have that chemistry? Because Mac certainly did. In terms of his mobility, I know you guys were just talking about it. Brock Purdy is sneaky athletic. I think Mac Jones is not as athletic, but has that same sneaky athleticism. He can escape the pocket if he has to. He's not going to be a statue back there. The Jaguars, for all their issues last year, they didn't give up a ton of sacks, and that was something that the previous regime really hung their hat on. And that was also a stat that for the previous two seasons, it was this notion of, well, Trevor Lawrence is able to escape pressure and he's sack proof and he helps his offensive line because he doesn't take sacks. But even with Mac under center last year, they still didn't give up a whole heck of a lot of sacks. I don't know, chicken or the egg, if that was because of Mac or because of the line itself. But for all intents and purposes, this team had other issues besides Mac Jones after Trevor Lawrence went down. He was not the problem by any stretch of the imagination. If anything, he gave us a few highlights, and he also gave us some highlights, again, just with his bubbly personality. You should go look up the video of him running like the pseudo obstacle course and like bouncing a ball at Press Taylor, the former offense coordinator, here's head. That probably was an omen of what was to come. Point being, like, Mac is one of those guys who's not afraid to call you out on your BS either. And I heard that from multiple people in the building. And I think that that matches with the synergy of Kyle Shanahan.
Talking with me, O'Brien, here on the Morning Roast. Talking Jaguars football. Why? Because, well, Mac Jones started a bunch of games for them last year, and it looks like he's going to be starting down in New Orleans in week two with Brock Purdy having the turf toe injury. I was thinking about, just real quick before I throw to you, I know a lot of Niner fans, and it's funny you say like the sneaky athleticism. The only reason Niner fans, I think, did not want to draft Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan, that is, a couple of years ago, was that pick that came out after Alabama won the championship with his shirt off. And he's got a little pudge. But you know what?
So does Mahomes.
That's okay. Bingo. I don't want my quarterbacks jacked, right, Mia? Come on.
Mm-hmm. No, Mahomes has got a dad bod, so who cares? I mean, you know, like Josh Allen's probably going to showcase it here in a couple of years, too. Like,
look at that.
You can have a life outside of football. Like, you need to be a maniac when you're in the building, which, by the way, I think Mac Jones is. I also think that the real reason that I have belief that this is going to work, even if it's just for a four-game spell or however long Brock is out, whether it's one game, you know, goes on short-term IR, whatever it is. The reason I believe it'll work and the reason that I believe that Kyle Shanahan first did consider taking Mac Jones with that third overall pick is because he is every other quarterback that has had success in this Shanahan system. He will do exactly what you ask him to do. If anything, and again, I don't have this from the horse's mouth, but from comments that were made, I think that Doug Peterson felt more comfortable with Mac Jones later in the season because Mac Jones did exactly what he asked him to do. And Trevor Lawrence wanted to have more of a conversation of like, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. And Doug and Press Taylor were like, no, we want to do this. Operate in the structure.
Mia, you are on fire. You're one of my favorite guests, and you really, you're bringing it. You're giving the opinions. That's what I love about it. They play the Jaguars in a couple weeks. Hypothetically, he plays in that game, Mac Jones. And let's say they go 1-1. They beat the Saints. They lose to the Cards. I'm talking about the Niners. And we got Jags, Niners. Are the Jags licking their chops to face Mac Jones, or is Mac Jones licking his chops to face the Jags?
Both. Because this is a kid who, if you love the picture of him with the dad bod, you also need to go find the picture of Mac Jones in a Blake Bortles jersey. He grew up a Jags fan. Like, for him to even be the backup quarterback, and go look it up, Joe. You like, trust me, you'll see it. I'll text it to you guys. Like, it's real.
Oh, I have it right here. Yeah, it's great.
Good,
this is good stuff.
You find it.
Yeah.
Right, and you can pull that up because you guys are on video now. So, point being, for Mac, I think that he would be licking his chops, but also I think that Mac understands why the previous regime was blown up. And because he is a lifelong fan of not just the Jaguars, but of the city, I think he's happy to see many of his former teammates in a good position right now. And again, we'll see what happens the next 2 weeks here for the Jaguars as well. I mean, look, you know, it's great that you bulldoze the Carolina Panthers, but you got to go play with the big boys of Joe Burrow and the Houston Texans the next 2 weeks. Now, personally, I do think that the Jaguars, with the infrastructure that they've set up, will compete in both those games. I can't guarantee you dubs, although I'm feeling good about this weekend, but I'm actually feeling good about the Jaguars matchup with the Bengals for the same reason that as I see the bottom line coming across here on the Morning Roast, I'm fascinated by the offensive line health in San Francisco, much like I'm fascinated by the offensive line health in Cincinnati right now, coupled with what does the secondary in both those locales look like, because I would argue it could be the Achilles heel for both defenses. And in turn, that's an area that if you can get Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. operating on the same page, you could absolutely exploit in both weeks 2 and week 4 if you're the Jags.
Hey, Mia, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning. We'll definitely do it again in a couple weeks when the Niners do play the Jags, and we'll follow up there, and we'll find out about the Mac Jones era in San Francisco. Good stuff, Mia.
Absolutely. And no, but for real, though, I'm going to text Sam because I will need one of you, at least one of you, if not all of you, to join. Maybe we'll get everybody in. We'll do a family edition of Club 904, which is the new Jaguars podcast I'm doing with Action Sports Jacks, our CBS affiliate. So because I don't know if you guys got the memo. So I'm actually now with ESPN Radio. So
let's quick
plug. Beyond Tonight with Q Myers. So you can follow me there, also on Monday night, but then flying to Cincinnati tomorrow morning. I don't sleep anymore, but you know I always got time for you
guys. Welcome to my
world. We don't sleep either, Mia. Good stuff. We appreciate it.
See ya.
Always great hanging out with you.
Oh,
she's
there
great.
She goes. She is awesome.
She is so tapped in. I don't think we could find a better Mac Jones breakdown.
I actually feel a hell of a lot better than I already did heading into this week in New Orleans about Mac Jones. I'll tell you on the other side. It's brought to you by Moderna.
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Shanahan telling reporters yesterday that Brock Purdy is a long shot to play this week. It could be a multiple week injury. My understanding is that Brock Purdy is out 2 to 5 weeks. 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy with what is essentially a variant of turf toe. It is a ligament injury that affects the bottom of his foot. Call it turf toe if you want. That's basically what Kyle Shanahan has said. But 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy, which would put him out at least the Saints game this week, the Cardinals game next week, and then we'll see. It is swollen. It is irritated. No one knows how it's going to react, but certainly it seems like the 49ers are looking at probably two starts for Mac Jones, their backup quarterback, and maybe more. And it's been tough early on for the 49ers, guys. I mean, obviously, you had the Christian McCaffrey minor injury to start out week one. He ended up playing. You have George Kittle on IR with a hamstring injury, another battery of injury for the 49ers. A lot of challenges early on.
Now is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, this morning. So if you're just joining us, Brock Purdy, minimum 2 weeks, could be up to five that he is out with this injury. And how are we feeling, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. Are you feeling like this is a gut punch? Are you feeling like it could have been worse? Are you feeling, hey, you know what? This is why you bring in a Mac Jones. This is why, you know, last year when Mac, not Mac, but Brock went down, I was like, yeah, Brandon Allen's not going to cut it, man. You know, Josh Dobbs isn't going to cut it. You need a legit backup in today's NFL to still win games. In an era where we're going from 17 games and eventually it's going to be 18, Joe, you need a competent backup. And this is a guy that started out as a rookie, as a first-round draft pick for the New England Patriots, took his team to the playoffs. Now, you could say, oh, he didn't take his team. He was a passenger on the bus. I was like, he's the quarterback. Give him some damn credit, okay? For a rookie to be able to do that in that division, like, I don't scoff at something like that. I don't. So I know Mac has the capabilities of winning as a starter in this league. Now, can he do it behind this offensive line? That I'm not sure. And that's ultimately what I keep coming back to, Joe, as we're talking about Brock Purdy and whether or not Niner fans are now viewing him as an injury prone going forward. I think that's a little strong at this point, but I'm not going to begrudge them if they're starting to feel that way.
Well, there's a red flag at minimum.
There's a red flag, but it also comes back to why do these quarterbacks just keep getting hurt in San Francisco?
That is an element.
And I think you can point to why quarterbacks get hurt in general. Sometimes it's a fluke. Sometimes it's a Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he runs out of there and just torn ACL, and that's just kind of a freak play, right? But sometimes, you know, you get a Joe Theismann type of an injury or a Derek Carr kind of an injury where they never recover from them because of a missed block and because offensive line. And I keep coming back to offensive line for this team, Joe, just not being a priority for the head coach. And it hasn't been, and he's spoken about it. And he's almost spoken about it in a way that if I'm a Niner fan, it kind of bothers me. And it's really bothering me this morning. Like, we have some of the comments that he made in years past. We'll grab them with Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, about his whole philosophy about the offensive line and not drafting players in the first or second round. Or, you know, he did. And I know he did with McGlinchey. I know Banks was a second rounder, Banks, out of Notre Dame, right? So he's done it in the past, but those guys aren't here. He didn't bring him back. Like,
but is turf toe, I mean, can we diagnose turf toe as you didn't invest in the offensive line, or is that more random?
Well, if it's just turf toe, maybe it's random, but it's not just turf toe. It was also his left shoulder.
Okay.
So, like,
I'm just having
not one, but two injuries.
So, yeah. Like, this year is starting to feel a lot like 2020. And I'm just talking about vibes, not the results. 2020, first game of the year in front of an empty stadium. Garoppolo threw high. Kittle got hit. He was out for weeks.
Yeah.
Remember, he had crushed in the knee. He was lucky he didn't tear his knee.
The medicine ball heard around the world.
They lost that game. Garoppolo threw for, like, you know, 250 yards or whatever it was. And the next game, though, he came back and beat the Jets. But he got hurt. He hurt his ankle. Mm. He ended up missing the next two games. And I think because of Nick Mullins playing so poorly against the Eagles, you know, we were like, you got to get him back in there against the Dolphins, Jimmy G. So Jimmy G comes back against the Dolphins with the high ankle sprain. He just wasn't right. And it was probably one of the worst losses of the Shanahan era. He got destroyed. That was the game Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like Joe Montana.
Fitzmagic. Yeah.
He looked incredible. He got benched for C.J. Beathard in that game at halftime.
C.J. Beathard. Beat hard, as I used to call him, because he got beaten up pretty hard.
And in that
another Jags quarterback in the past, by the way, C.J. Beathard.
After the game, Shanahan said, and I got the quote right here, he benched Garoppolo because he was concerned Garoppolo was not fully recovered and didn't want to have the injury be aggravated. So he came back the next game against the Rams. They won. They won again, but eventually he would end up getting a re-aggravation of the ankle and shut down for the year. And so that is the last thing this team wants done. And we know what happened after 2020. They were so mad at Garoppolo because of the whole ankle and everything and the way the whole thing went down that they went out and they traded a million picks to go get Trey Lance. They didn't even know who they were getting.
And almost people thought, I thought, could have been Mac Jones. Hell, I have the tweet right here, Joe, as we're talking about it, it is crazy how life works sometimes.
It's insane.
That Mac Jones was a guy that maybe the 49ers wanted 4 years ago in that 2021. And I keep calling it the infamous quarterback class because it really, it was dubbed as the greatest ever potentially. And it's turned into a dud. Like, I'm happy for Justin Fields, and we'll see how it goes this year with the Jets.
Yeah, but
he's bounced around. He's been a journeyman at this point.
Fourth team?
Something like that.
Third team?
Yeah, like he's bounced around. It didn't work out there in Chicago. And then you've had Zach Wilson, obviously. He's been a bust at this point, being the number two overall pick out of BYU. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's that like quarterback class's like last hope, if you will. I know Trey Lance is a backup now at the Chargers. We'll see.
If he was a fifth rounder like Davis Mills, we would talk about him so differently.
Oh, he'd be a backup somewhere. It has not worked out for Trevor Lawrence. I know he's won a playoff game, and I'm high on the upside of him, and I think all of us are tantalized. Yeah. I know you are. You're always, he's like 6'3", 6'4". He's got movement. That. He's got a like huge 6'5". Arm. He's huge, yeah. Right? But the guy gets hurt, and he makes boneheaded decisions. Yeah. And I saw him get absolutely crushed against the Niners a couple of years ago. But it's crazy how things work. I got this tweet from Adam Schefter, and I reposted on my Twitter. By the way, you can follow me, @Spadoni_Joe. This is Adam Schefter 4 years ago. One of the many reasons why the 49ers traded up to the number three spot in this year's NFL draft was their belief that the Patriots could trade up to number three and beat them to Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. That's what league sources told ESPN. The Pats didn't, but they still got their man in Mac Jones. That's Adam Schefter. The guy knows his stuff. So we thought, and Kyle Shanahan thought, and John Lynch that, oh, we got to get up here because the Patriots might be trying to get Mac Jones. Because remember, we already know number one and two was going to be Lawrence and Wilson. That was locked. It was solidified. They basically let everyone know. That was what was happening. So after that, it was Mac Jones. It was Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And that was the consensus, those other top three guys, and it was whoever he liked.
Looking back at it, do you think Schefter might have been doing like a smokescreen for the Niners to get off the hint of Trey?
I mean,
for him to put out that they, you know, going after Mac specifically, I don't remember it that way, so that's interesting.
Well, this was September 12th, 2021, so the start of that season, it was the Niners feared Pat's trade up for Jones.
After the draft happened.
Okay. So
yes, on your point, Joe Two.
Yeah, that's thank you, Joe Two. You know, was that thing one, thing two? Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat.
Ah,
yeah,
am number one. Where are you at with Brock on this thing? I mean, it's unfortunate. We don't know. We're in the middle of it right now. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Could be out a week. Could be out. I mean, it sounds like he's going to be out at minimum 2 weeks. That's what it sounds like from all reports. I think this is going to last 3 or 4. I gave you the schedule. I'll go through it again.
Joe, I think this is going to last all season.
Well, that's the thing I'm really worried about.
It's a toe injury.
Why do you think I'd bring up 2020 with Garoppolo? I mean, he just never was right.
It's a toe injury. And correct me if I'm wrong. You can't run around very well if your toe's hurting. Right? That's all of us. That's life. And this is a guy that most of his game, Joe, is predicated on scrambling and making something out of nothing. And especially with this offensive line,
how cautious are you as an organization because you've given him $150 million?
You've got to be extremely cautious. I mean, this is also why you brought in Mac Jones, right? This is a guy that could win you and keep the spot for a few weeks or potentially up to 5 weeks. I believe that. Like, let's just say this: it's the worst case. It's going to be 5 weeks for Brock. Okay, that would suck.
So five weeks would be Saints, Cards, Jags, Rams,
Bucks.
And then Bucks is the 12th. So he wouldn't come back. So if he misses five. Wow. I mean,
that'd be October 19th. He's coming back, and he's playing the Atlanta Falcons, and that is a Sunday Night Football matchup.
Wow. Wow.
Against Michael Penix and Raheem Morris. So
if he misses 5 games, we're in big trouble. You could survive with a backup for a couple weeks. Then when teams start game planning, that individual gets more and more exposed, and then the rest of the team's flaws get more and more exposed. The drop off from Purdy to Mac, I think is precipitous, considering the specific skill set that Purdy has, is the mobility, the movement, the improvisation, the ability to extend plays in a positive way. Mac does not possess those, and I think it's even more important with this O-line.
I think it's curious, and I want to throw this out there to the fans. How big is the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones?
How can we even really know? We haven't really...
I've seen Mac Jones,
but not on his best. Not in this offense.
No, but I've seen him at his best, and he took a team to the playoffs as a rookie quarterback. How big is the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, Niner fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Scott
in Fairfield.
You're really
in on Mac Jones, huh? I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying.
I'm higher than most on Mac Jones, but I'm also high on Kyle Shanahan, the quarterback, because he always saw something in Mac Jones.
The year he went to the playoffs. I'm going to read you off his numbers. 67% completion.
That's good.
3,800 yards.
Okay.
That's what...
It's a run first offense, by the way, in New England.
I'm just telling you what Purdy did last year. 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I mean, rookie year, obviously. 22-13. Nothing to scoff at, but not crazy prolific. One fourth quarter comeback, one game-winning drive.
It's pretty good. Rookie quarterback. I'm just saying. Run first offense. Got taken over after Cam Newton when he flamed out, and Cam was taken over for Tom Brady, and he was supposed to be the next Brady with those expectations his rookie year. He lived up to those expectations. Now it fell off after that because he lost his offensive coordinator. Bill Belichick flamed out. It was a dumpster fire around him. And maybe I am defending him because he had to deal with some dumpster fires there in New England. It was awful. They put him in a losing position with who they bring in to run the offense? Matt Patricia? And Joe Judge, for God's sakes?
Oh, I don't think he was set up to succeed. But I also... Look, I just think Purdy's really good. I'm not saying that Mac Jones isn't good. I think Mac Jones, for me, is more TBD. I have to see it in this offense before I can make a sweeping proclamation one way or the other.
But you'll agree with me on this. The drop-off from a guy like Mac Jones to Brandon Allen?
Oh, no. Mac is better than Brandon Allen. I will not debate that at all. I'm taking Mac Jones over Brandon Allen all day. I'm probably taking Mac Jones over Sam Darnold as a backup in this particular equation.
Okay.
Even though Darnold had a monster year last year, I like Mac as a backup. I think he's perfect as a backup.
By the way, we got an awesome guest coming up in about 30 minutes. Daryl Moose Johnston, former Cowboys fullback, Super Bowl champion, obviously does really good stuff with Fox Sports on the broadcast. So we got him coming up in about 28 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. The Purdy injury, where he's got the 49ers in the NFC. Now Mac Jones taking over. Daryl Moose Johnston. Not Daryl the Guru Johnston. Daryl Moose Johnston joining us in 28 minutes, courtesy of River Islands. How big is the drop-off from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, Niner fans? 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Hey, Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday, is Mac Jones ready to go?
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy who will hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
All right, let's start it off. We got a bunch of people on the phone lines that want to go and talk about this. Scott in Fairfield.
Hey,
start off with Scotty. Scotty, don't. What's up, Scott?
Morning, fellas. Happy Friday, Junior. Get ready for this weekend. I was calling in right before you guys put the drop off. I don't think it's a massive drop off. Yes, Purdy is better than Mac Jones, but you know. Over these next 2 to 5 weeks, I'm not looking for Mac Jones to come in and lead us to the promised land, scoring 35 points a game. You know, we brought Robert Saleh back for a reason, and that was just toughen up this defense. That's what I'm looking for over these next 2 to 5 weeks, is to play some smash-mouth football, to see the blitzes come out, and just our defense really to step up. If we can get Mac Jones to be a serviceable quarterback, with Christian McCaffrey still there, you know, we can put up 14 to 17 points. I'm not worried because no one's scoring more than 10 on us in the next 5 weeks.
Well, we have to see some better offenses. Would you agree? I mean, we're going to have to cover Puka Nacua at some point in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Scott.
You know, the Cardinals present problems because of the mobile quarterback. Let's It's 1 week against Seattle. We have to see what this defense is in 3 or 4 weeks, and we'll have a better feel. Saints, Cards, Jags, Rams, Bucks, Falcons. Those are your next six games. This Saints game, in terms of like how important it is to get a victory at the very beginning, is
huge.
It's humongous.
And just imagine if you do win this game, going 2-0. And in your second week, you're already without your highest paid player in the history of the franchise, your franchise guy, your franchise quarterback in Brock Purdy, to go 2-0 potentially, to come back home. And then Mac has a potential revenge game scenario against his team that he started for last year, his hometown team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. It'd be pretty incredible. It's a cool little story. Again, this is why the NFL is just so good, too. Like, no one wants this. I don't want to be talking about Brock Purdy being out there. But this is the nature of the game. It's a violent game. It's a violent sport. People get hurt. And then people have chance for redemption.
Chill, they just paid Brock Purdy.
They did.
$150 million.
They did.
We didn't talk about him all offseason.
Nope.
One game.
Out.
He's got multiple injuries, and the toe, it seems very serious. This is a big one.
I know you're feeling down. I'm going to tell you, though. I think Mac can right the ship. I really do believe that. I'm not just blowing smoke up your butt, dude.
I mean,
I'm not. Kyle Shanahan.
I think, Joe, I think Vegas and people that pick might say, like, 2-3 would be, wow, that'd be incredible. If, let's say, he misses five games. Like, again, Saints, Cards, division game. Those are always weird. Jags, who knows? Rams, Bucks.
They're still favored by 3 in New Orleans this week, which I think tells you more about New Orleans than San Francisco, that we all think that the Saints might be the worst team in the NFL this year, or one of them. And I hear you. They're going to be at home. The Superdome's going to be loud. It's going to be Mac Jones.
Early in the year, they don't know that they're bad yet.
Yeah, sure.
It takes time.
I mean, some teams know they're bad. The Dolphins definitely do.
I remember lost seasons with Chip Kelly and with Jim Tomsula. Early on the year, the Niners played inspired football.
Carlos before, Hyde, I remember.
Before the bottom fell out. So I'm never going to sleep on an opponent this early in the season.
I hear you. 888-957-9570. How big is the drop-off between Brock Purdy to Mac Jones, Niner fans? Let us know. And we'll go out to our guy, TC in Sacramento.
Hey, TC.
What's up, TC? You're on the roast, bro.
What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
Hey, listen, why are we sounding so down, right? So I'm going to answer the question first.
Because the guy that we paid $150 million is hurt in the first game. I'm a little bummed.
I get you, but look at it from this angle, right? The drop off is not even really a drop off. Brock got Mac in like the scrambling attribute, right? But other than that, bro, they're damn near like the same quarterback. Look how Kyle Shanahan gushed over him. He can make the throws. He got all this. Listen, so there's no excuses for your boy Kyle, right? This is a dude who you really wanted, Kyle. So put him to work, right? If Mac is a guy you wanted, put him under center and let's move forward. Whatever Brock's out 2 to 5 weeks, then Mac should be able to go 2-5-0. This is your guy, Kyle. Period, point, point. So Niners fans.
Wait a minute, TC. Did you think Brock was going to go 2-5-0 over the next 2 to 5 weeks? And then you're expecting that from Mac Jones? That feels a little unrealistic, especially with no George Kittle.
But, Shafty, look at it from this angle, right? You too, Spadoni. This was Kyle's guy. There's no excuses. He wanted Mac, so let's move forward, bro. Period. That's all I got, y'all.
All right, that's TC and Sack. Listen, I am higher than most on Mac Jones.
Yeah, but I don't think it's his guy. Like, okay, to say it was his guy in the draft a couple of years ago
is one thing.
It's 2025. Yeah. That was 4 years ago. Yeah. Like, Brock's his guy.
Brock's his guy now. He was paid to be the backup guy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, those are different conversations.
But the fact that he did bring him in and he did make him, you know, that number two and solidified number two early on, I do think speaks to his confidence in Mac going forward.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I think he is confident that he can get it done. Now, being without Kittle is going to be brutal. Like, that is the one. Had they had George Kittle still these next 4 weeks?
And maybe no Jennings this week.
And maybe no Jennings. We'll see.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But that's why you bring in a Kendrick Bourne, who does have a history with the quarterback. Again, what version of Kendrick Bourne? He hasn't been there for training camp. Joe, I don't know.
I just keep asking myself, like, and I'm not trying to rip Kendrick Bourne. He couldn't play for the Patriots, but yet he's perfect on the Niners.
In fairness, the Patriots have been a laughingstock these last couple of years. Like,
I'm surprised he can't make their roster.
But the Patriots also thought that Jacoby Myers wasn't very good, and he's been a baller the last couple of years with the Raiders. So I don't think they're identifying talent very well in New England. By the way, did you see what happened in week one with them? I got a lot of questions with Drake May, too. 888-957-9570. We're talking about the drop-off right now from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. Is Brock Purdy's going to be out at least the next 2 weeks, according to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. That leads the way for Michael McCorkle Jones, a.k.a. Mac Jones. Return of the Mac? Maybe, just maybe. By the way, Mia O'Brien, who watched a lot of Mac Jones last year, covers the Jags down in Jacksonville, ESPN Radio. Hey, she talked to us about 40 minutes ago and said why Mac Jones is going to work.
Whatever it is, the reason I believe it'll work and the reason that I believe that Kyle Shanahan first did consider taking Mac Jones with that third overall pick is because he is every other quarterback that has had success in this Shanahan system. He will do exactly what you ask him to do. If anything, and again, I don't have this from the horse's mouth, but from comments that were made, I think that Doug Peterson felt more comfortable with Mac Jones later in the season because Mac Jones did exactly what he asked him to do. And Trevor Lawrence wanted to have more of a conversation of like, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. And Doug and Press Taylor were like, no, we want to do this.
What I also thought was interesting, and this is all for the fantasy junkies out there. If you had Brian Thomas Jr. last year, who's their number one wide receiver, he's a stud. He was more productive with Mac Jones, Brian Thomas, than he was with Trevor Lawrence. That tells me whoever's going to be the number one guy in San Francisco this week, and is looking like it's going to be Pearsall.
Who I traded for.
Oh, you did. You did do a big trade.
In the 95-7 league, but no one cares about my fantasy team.
Well, but if you are a Ricky Pearsall owner, you should be very happy because Mac Jones is going to be probably targeting him the most. Hey, he's the hot guy. He's the guy. He's the number one. Just force feed him going forward.
Well, I can't believe Purdy's hurt already.
That's really. Is it the money attached to him that's bothering you?
We spent the last. Look, I was crazy about like how much to pay him, how many guarantees. Like, he deserved a big pay raise. He did. He deserved a huge pay raise. But when you make a financial commitment to any player, Bosa, Kittle, Ayuk, the quarterback, but specifically quarterbacks and pass rushers, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. The dead cap hit that Denver had on the Russell Wilson basically dump is a huge number. You can overcome it. It's just really hard, right?
And they took their lumps, too. Year, they took their lumps.
And, like, this team already, without the quarterback number attached to it, had a lot of dead cap problems. Eric Armstead, Debo. I mean, just go down the list. There were a lot of guys that they had to, like, say goodbye to and eat the number. And so, like, not only when you pay someone do you want that guy to be a very good player, they got to be healthy. You want return on that money.
Well, Joe, this is the year it's not really even kicking in yet. That's the frustrating part. It's going to be next year when it really kicks in with those cap hits and those numbers. It's going to be that. It's going to be Bosa. It's going to be Warner. It's going to be Kittle. I understand fans being a little like, damn, is this what I have to expect going forward, Brock?
Let's have the money conversation to pay Brock Purdy, and there were other guys. You can't afford everyone. Now, is Talanoa Hufanga not on the Niners because of Brock Purdy's contract? Probably not. Like, I think that's probably deeper and more about injury concerns and other players they have on the roster. But it's a non-negotiable starting point because you know you just can't afford him.
So the cap hit next year for Brock is going to be $24 million. Still not like huge. It's going to be 8%, but it's 3% this year, and then jumps up to 9%. And then it really starts kicking in 2028 when it's at 15%. It's a $57 million cap hit.
Aaron Banks. I didn't think Aaron Banks was worth the money that he got, but you aren't even entertaining that because you know you got to pay the quarterback big money. Yeah. And so you're prioritizing specific people. Charvarius Ward's not here for a variety of reasons. They knew last year they weren't paying him because you knew you had to pay the quarterback money and you had to make hard decisions. So, like, paying Brock is one element. Him staying healthy is another element. And then all the other guys around him that you can't afford anymore, like Deebo Samuel, he's here for a variety of reasons. And one of them is the money.
I mean, have we learned nothing as a society, as a general manager, as a head coach? Like, did we learn nothing from the Andrew Luck saga? What do you have to prioritize for these franchise quarterbacks? The offensive line. If you don't do that, then you're telling me as a fan that you don't like, oh yeah, sorry, the quarterbacks can get hurt, but that's just football. No. Protect your guy. Why did the Philadelphia Eagles, and why have they been one of the best teams in football the last few years, Joe?
Oh, it's the insane offensive line.
Thank you.
That they've continued to double down on. They had a Hall of Fame center and then drafted a kid to replace him.
I'm pretty confident, and this might sound ridiculous.
While he was still playing, by the way.
I think if Brock Purdy was the quarterback of the Eagles last year, they won the Super Bowl. I do. I believe that.
You believe that?
I believe that. And that's, okay. I think Jalen Hurts, as we're talking about the drop-off right now, in 888-957-9570.
Jalen was freaking amazing.
No, I love Jalen.
Yeah,
I love Jalen, too. I think they're very comparable with their skill sets. Yeah. And maybe the tush push doesn't work, and I hear you. But that offensive line, Mahomes would take that. Josh Allen would take that. Lamar Jackson would take that. But I mentioned all those guys, too. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs realized in that Super Bowl, what was their problem?
Oh, it was the O-line.
It was the O-line.
Yeah.
And what did they do this offseason? They're trying to shore that up. Mm-hmm. Draft picks. Going out and paying a guy who's just a backup right now, Jaylon Moore, more money, which everyone scoffs at. He's getting paid to be a backup because they know that injuries happen there.
Yeah.
So, this is what I'm getting at. You need to prioritize. And if this isn't a slap in the face to Kyle Shanahan to wake up and start prioritizing that part of the team, I don't know what will. I mean, it's right in front of his face. Trey Lance, hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo, hurt. C.J. Beathard, hurt. Hurt. Everyone just gets hurt. And now the guy that you dubbed the guy, Brock Purdy, is hurt again.
Well, the Shanahan philosophy, I told you, is driven me nuts. I always go back to Harbaugh just because I remember the statements that he brings up. That, you know, the offensive line is the tip of the spear. What happened to the Chargers this year in training camp?
Rashawn Slater, their stud, and might be the best left tackle in football, got hurt and is out for the season.
He is their Trent Williams,
yes.
Right? Well, 2 years ago when Harbaugh had an opportunity to draft whoever he wanted, fifth or sixth overall, they took Joe Alt,
yep.
Who was a left tackle at Notre Dame, and they moved him to the right side. And they were like, yeah, we know we have a great tackle. We want another one because that's the tip of the spear. And we want to make sure that investment that we have in Justin Herbert stays upright. What did they sacrifice? Who did they cut? They cut skill position players.
They got rid of Joey Bosa.
Him who couldn't stay healthy. Keenan Allen.
Mike Williams, yes.
Right? And then they drafted a cheaper receiver. They got cheaper on the outside, and they invested more on the inside.
And they brought in a guy like J.K. Dobbins, like, yes. A prove-it deal for some of these running backs. Yes, correct.
So when they lose Rashawn Slater, which is a devastating blow, almost every team in the league would have been pretty screwed.
Yeah.
You know what the Chargers did? They're like, yeah, we're going to move Joe Alt over there, and we're going to be good to go.
And we'll just beat the Chiefs in week one in Brazil.
The one thing the Niners have failed to do.
Yep. So,
again, this is philosophy. It's team building. I'm not going to agree with everyone's, and I'm not going to there are a lot of things that I agree with, Kyle, like spending first rounders on skill position players. I do love it, but at some point, if I'm paying the offensive coordinator, which is what he is, the head coach and offensive coordinator, $20 million a year, sometimes I need you to like hit on a third and fourth round wide receiver and shine that guy up. Puka, what was he, a fourth?
Yeah, something like that. Fourth or fifth rounder. Yeah.
He's got as much talent as anyone. Now, they did it with George Kittle. That was like 2018, 2017. Right. You know, we've got to do that again.
Prior to Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp was a third round pick. He wasn't some like top prospect. No one heard. Did you hear of Cooper Kupp?
No.
Who? Eastern Washington, by the way, teammates with Kendrick Bourne at Eastern Washington.
But like, I look at the Pearsall pick, and today it looks great. But the day you made it, we all knew they needed offensive line. And if you hadn't had, you know, to pay every single penny on the quarterback, maybe there's a world where Debo's back or maybe Ayuk's healthy. I don't know. You know, that can't foresee that. But, like, you didn't really use him in year one, and you didn't really have plans to use him in year one. That's, you know, and today it looks good because Ayuk's hurt and everything. But on that day, I wanted an offensive lineman if we weren't going to take a receiver or traded one of the receivers on draft day. So I just think their philosophy has been a little off from what I would like to do.
888-957-9570. We're talking about the news that shocked the world in the 49ers realm this morning. 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy.
Just brutal.
With a turf toe injury. And again, whenever I think of just turf toe, I'm just like, what the? It's just like a big toe that's like swollen or something like that. Well, there's varying degrees of it. It could be a grade one, grade two, grade three. Dr. Nalapandia, UCSF Health, our 95.7 The Game Injury Insider. It was basically, he put a tweet out yesterday, and you can find it there, but he's basically saying, yeah, a grade one is basically like a, it's like stretched or like a hyperextension. Probably going to play through that. A grade two, though, you could be out 2 to 3 weeks, maybe longer. That's partial tearing in the big toe. And then a grade three, which could be 6 to 12 weeks or need surgery after that, is a complete tear.
Well,
so.
And like your point about the offensive line overall, it really is stark when you look at how much resources and how many resources they've spent on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Since they got here, they have drafted how many guys in the first round on that D-line? Bosa, Solomon Thomas,
yeah.
Before they inherited Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. They paid Armstead. They traded for D Ford. What's that?
Kinlaw.
Yeah. Javon Kinlaw. Now Mykel Williams, Alfred Collins, DJ West. Like, they have invested a lot of high picks, a lot of money, a lot of extensions on the defensive line.
Ruben
and Fox. It just feels like they haven't done that same. And I'm not saying that every position you invest in, you know, crazy, but like a little bit.
No, you have
just
to,
a little.
Like, it's a quarterback-driven league, Joe. You got to protect these guys.
I know.
It's literally, like, I'm just going to go through here. Do the list of Super Bowl winners, you can almost always point to the teams that have really legit offensive lines. Almost always. It's rare where you have an offensive line that stinks. Like, that doesn't happen. You don't get to the Super Bowl with a bad offensive line. It has to be at least average, above average to elite. And unfortunately, what's caused the 49ers, and you could point to it, in the Super Bowl, both those times against the Chiefs, Joe, the offensive line, whether it was a blown assignment or Chris Jones taking over, you could point to that. And then forcing the quarterbacks to make a mistake or throw it away. That happened almost every single time. Or in the last case, it was a well-timed blitz from Trent McDuffie, Steve Spagnuolo. I want to hear more from the head coach, though, yesterday, because he talked about injuries.
I think he's down and out. Listen to the tone in his voice.
Yeah, this is Kyle Shanahan talking yesterday, and there was a lot to talk about, not just because of the kicker, by the way, and he did touch on that. Injuries for practice, Kyle Shanahan.
All right, injuries for today. Yetur will not practice, knee. McCaffrey will not practice, calf/vet/vet day. Trent Williams won't practice, knee/vet day. Nick Bosa won't practice, vet day. Brock Purdy won't practice, left shoulder, toe. Juwan Jennings won't practice, shoulder. Jordan James, limited finger. Jordan Watkins, limited ankle. Ben Bartsch, limited knee and elbow.
Is anyone practicing? I mean, wow.
Mac Jones is. That's who's practicing.
How healthy is his knee?
Well, let's hear it. Mac Jones, is he good to go?
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy who'll hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
So there you go. Looks like he's a tough guy. He'll hang in there. He'll deliver the ball where it needs to go.
Niner fans rallying around Mac Jones.
We have no choice.
No, I know, but isn't it funny? When a lot of people did not want any part of Mac Jones for so long.
I was telling all my Niner buddies, and they all said I was high as a kite. I was like, dude, did any of us not? Like, I get it. Alabama's always loaded. Mac Jones was incredible that season with that team. They were incredible.
Okay,
he was playing with the Avengers. I get it.
It was the COVID year. Oh. No one, hear me out, no one was allowed to practice in facilities around the country. Alabama was open every day for business. Okay? No, this
is... You saw his arm. You saw the talent there with those wide receivers. He looked incredible.
He was good. He was good. No one denies that. Matt Leinart was also awesome on an all-star team, and I was fading him as an NFL pro.
Well, that's fine, but he was also a Heisman Trophy winner. They won multiple national championships. Like, Matt Leinart.
Yeah. He was awesome. Yeah, but I knew he wasn't going to be good at the next level.
Was it because he was a USC quarterback? Was that why?
He was just soft. You could just see it.
Mac Jones isn't soft, though. He can take some punishments. Now, the one thing with Mac Jones is we're kind of gassing him up here. Me O'Brien was, and we'll talk to Daryl Moose Johnson in about 7 minutes at the top of the hour, courtesy of River Islands, obviously former Dallas Cowboys fullback, and does a lot of good work with Fox Sports on the broadcast. He does make some boneheaded mistakes sometimes. So he does have that knucklehead type throw in him. But again, let's not act like Brock Purdy didn't have two of those last week. Let's not act like Jimmy Garoppolo has done in the past. So maybe he'll fit in perfectly with the 49ers quarterbacks when it comes to some of these oh-no throws.
I love when we call them oh-no throws. It should just be Kyle oh-no throws.
Just put it on him. Kyle, this is your fault it's he's the doing offense. This.
Offensive oh-no throws.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's going to lead us. I wonder who's going to be on the injury report today, Carter. Who can guess? Who knows? Hope it's not Gerard Encarnacion.
Let's go, Mac.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Hey, did you hear the news about Brock Purdy? He's expected to be out 2 to 5 weeks now with a turf toe variant.
Why were you so happy?
That's how it's literally.
Hey, did you hear the news?
That's what it says on the script. It says, "Did you hear the news about Brock Purdy?" This is the script I'm reading, all right? There you go. It is unclear the severity of the injury, which makes a return timetable harder to figure out. His availability, I should say, will be determined by how his rehab goes. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. All right, Daryl Moose Johnston coming up on the call for Fox this Sunday between the 49ers and New Orleans Saints. It's him and Kevin Kugler, correct? So, and we know we love Kevin Kugler here on the Morning Roast. Daryl Moose Johnston coming up next. Brock Purdy's going to be out. Mac Jones is stepping up. How big is that drop off? 888-957-9570. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.